Returning tonight for just one evening to the book of Philemon. And you might think, well, this is a letter written by Paul, so we have to go extremely slow through it and take a very long time. How can we possibly finish it in an evening? But it's a short letter, and it's a letter that hangs together. And I think it's useful for us to consider an entire chapter of God's Word. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin looking at the book of Lamentations. But this is a very important letter. The word in the title, useless, is a word that is in our Bibles. It is the word unprofitable. It is a word that's kind of a play on words. And so I use the word useless because it's easy for us to wrap our mind around it. Unprofitable doesn't trip so quickly off of our tongues, but the word is the word related to Onesimus's name. Onesimus means profitable or useful. And yet Onesimus has become unprofitable to his master. But God is reworking things. He's reworking things in Onesimus's life, so that the one who is unprofitable now becomes profitable. How does he do that? Look for the work of Jesus Christ in this letter. This is the word of God. Listen carefully. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith with which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how that thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The precious word of the living and the true God. There is some reason to believe that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter about the same time as he wrote the letter to the Colossians. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul has become free, and the Lord Jesus Christ in one respect, but now he is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His freedom is actually bound up in his relationship to Jesus Christ. And he writes to Timothy, our brother. He includes Timothy alongside himself as the author of the letter. He's done this before. He did this in Titus. The Apostle Paul is showing his humility, even as an apostle, in putting Timothy alongside himself. You see, this letter is going to be about relationships. This letter is about relationships in the body of Christ. Relationships that surpass earthly categories. And that's an important thing to consider tonight. We have relationships in the body of Christ that surpass earthly categories. And so Paul does something unusual here. He inserts names of other people in the greeting. He doesn't do this in other places. He says, writes unto Philemon, that's the one he's writing to, but it's a public letter. Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. He's already beginning to refer to people in family terms, in terms of affection, in terms of the relationship that he has with them. Philemon, our dearly beloved, he writes, and fellow laborer. Sometimes you love someone, and at other times you work alongside someone, but if you can say that you love someone and you've worked alongside them, that deepens your relationship with them. You have people that you work with on your job, and you work alongside them, but they aren't necessarily the same people that you love. And you have people that you love, but you've never done something alongside them, some work, some labor, especially spiritual labor. If you've gone to visit someone in the hospital with someone that you love, you see how this laboring together works, how it changes the way that you relate to each other. It's one of the values of going to visit people and recognizing who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and to our beloved Apphia. She was likely the wife of Philemon. And he is writing about a church that meets in their house. A very familiar theme for us. It's something that we can wrap our mind around. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Archippus, a fellow soldier. Colossians 4:17 says he was a minister. A fellow soldier, probably the one who did the proclamation of the word in that house church. So you have Philemon, and you have Apphia, and you have Archippus. What you need to know is that these are servants who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. They are mentioned in this letter. They have a relationship with the Apostle Paul. According to church tradition, Apphia was stoned to death in the time of Nero. Archippus was also killed by a mob, stabbed to death by a mob, according to church tradition. We don't know for sure. But the fact that they are mentioned in the scriptures, the fact that they are mentioned in this place that is so much a part of the opening of Paul's letter, means that we need to understand that Paul is talking about relationships in the body of Christ. The way that the body of Christ begins to work. We have dearly beloved people and fellow laborers in the body of Christ. Apphia is beloved. And Archippus is a fellow soldier. He mentions that again in Colossians 4:17, as I said. And then he begins with his standard greeting. Grace to you and peace. But he declares it to be from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship that we have with God as our Father comes about through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brought into this relationship. We are brought into this spiritual house. We are brought into this family that the Apostle Paul is talking about. When you hear this, you hear what has caused you to be brought into the family. This is not just a letter that is written down that we study write down answers on a pop quiz about. No, this is the reality of what it means to be in the family of God. And the Apostle Paul is unpacking it, statement by statement. And then he says, I thank my God, my God. That's language that appears over 60 times in the Psalms. My God. I thank my God. Making mention of thee always in my prayers. The Apostle Paul is praying for the people that he is writing to. He's praying for Philemon. He's praying for the people who meet in Philemon's house. He's praying for them. And he knows something about them. He knows that they have what was characterized as the mentality of the sheep in the passage that we looked at this morning. Hearing of thy love and faith with which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. You see how they're connected. Love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. If you're going to have love for the saints, it's because you have love for the Lord Jesus. And the love for the Lord Jesus that you have dictates your love for the saints. The Apostle Paul is after something. He's after the relationship that Philemon has with Onesimus. Onesimus has become unprofitable to him from the standpoint of the master-slave relationship. Onesimus has apparently run away. It's likely that he took some of his master's goods. But in the course of time, he met the Apostle Paul, and he became a new creation. And Philemon has already become a new creation in Christ because of his relationship with the Apostle Paul. So now things are different. Now things are beginning to reveal to us what it's like to be in a new relationship, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and how that changes our relationship to other saints. That's what this letter is about. And then he says in verse 6, that the communication of thy faith might become effectual to the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. When he says bowels, he means the deepest seat of what makes you yourself. It's the seat of the emotions, but it's more than that. Some would call it the heart. It is the deepest place, the core of who you are. And it's the word bowels. But you don't need to think about that in terms of, you know, some sort of part of who we are. This is the core of who we are. This is what this word is getting at. The very depths of your being. Down in your gut. What you know. We have great joy and consolation in thy love. You know this love that is expressed in Philemon and the bowels of the saints. Their core of who they are refreshed by thee. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Philemon. He's speaking to Philemon in a public way. It's a letter to Philemon, but it's a letter for all the saints to read and understand. And it's given to them so that people might understand that kind of refreshment is deeply encouraging in an abiding way. That's the kind of encouragement that the Apostle Paul seeks in this letter. That's the kind of encouragement that causes people to continue on the path of growth. When you can encourage the saints of God in this way, they are growing in Christ and they continue to grow. It stays with them for a season. That is what we are seeking. So then he begins to unpack what he's writing about in verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says, I could tell you by command what it is that I want you to do. I want you to receive Onesimus back. This slave who ran away, because he's now a new creation in Christ. But I am going to appeal to you. I'm going to beseech you. I'm going to plead with you on the basis of who you are in Christ that you do this. And he says, it's for love's sake. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. In other words, the relationship that the Apostle Paul has with Philemon is on a new level now. What could have happened to Onesimus is he could have been arrested. There were actually ways in which people were called upon to arrest runaway slaves, and not only arrest them, but people that harbored them. In fact, they were often whipped. Sometimes runaway slaves were even crucified. We know this from letters that were given to us from that period. And yet the Apostle Paul says, I am calling upon you for love's sake. I am beseeching you, not commanding you. I am beseeching you on behalf of my son, whose name means profitable, whose name means useful, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Onesimus found the Apostle Paul while he was imprisoned, while he was chained up, and he became a new creation. If that doesn't demonstrate to you the power of God to set someone free, the Apostle Paul is chained, but Onesimus, a runaway slave, is set free. He became a new creation. He's born anew. Runaway slave, that's his old identity now. Unprofitable, that's his old identity. Useless, that's his old identity. He has a new identity now. And so the Apostle Paul is writing, and he makes it very clear. It's actually a play on words in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. The Apostle Paul says, Onesimus used to be unprofitable, the opposite of what his name means. But now he's profitable. He has become profitable because he's a new creation in Christ. That's how he became useful, because he's a new person now. And he's useful to you, Philemon, but he's also useful to me. In fact, the Apostle Paul admits in this letter that he really doesn't want to let go of Onesimus. He would really rather that he be around, because he's very encouraging to him. He refreshes him. But he's sending him back to Philemon. And he wants Philemon to know that the basis on which he will be received back, if Philemon would, he's not going to command it, but if Philemon would, is on the basis of who he is in Jesus Christ. Who Onesimus now is, because he has been born from above, because he has been made new in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. When the Apostle Paul says that, he says that Onesimus is one who represents his deepest, most passionate concern and love. He is sending someone who is extremely dear to him. Someone who has become a new creation through his relationship with him. His own spiritual child. And he's sending him back to Philemon. Philemon, we learn some verses later, is actually a spiritual child of the Apostle Paul too. So everything is being restructured. Everything is being reformed through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Onesimus is able to do something to me, for me, that you can't do, Philemon, because you are far away. He was with me in the place where I was in chains. And he was helpful to me. That's how profitable Onesimus has now become. He's a new creation in Christ. Not only is that encouraging to the Apostle Paul, but he says he actually ministered to me. The Apostle Paul is not beyond the need for people to minister to him. He needs that kind of social contact. And Onesimus has provided it. But he's going to send him back to Philemon. Sending one that he would like to hold on to, one that represents the dearness of a spiritual child, one who represents the depths of his being, his heart. But he wants it all to be on a voluntary basis. You see, when you begin to command love, there's something that is missing. When people respond, they respond sometimes to the command, but the Apostle Paul is talking about a deep, abiding love. He's talking about the kind of affection and care that he exhibits toward Onesimus, that Onesimus represents to him. And so he wants Philemon to do this willingly. Without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. That's the beauty of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to accomplish something in us by persuading and enabling us to receive himself. By the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the risen Christ, we are persuaded. We understand. We begin to value the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand who he is. And that's why the Apostle Paul is accomplishing this on the basis of not a command, not on the basis of pressure, coercion, or control. But he says, I want it to be willingly. Just like the end of Psalm 110, where it talks about the ones who serve the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. And then the Apostle Paul begins to reflect on God's providence. Why is it that all of this has taken place? Verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Perhaps he was gone temporarily, so that you might receive him on the basis on which he belongs connected to you forever. There's a new basis on which you are related to Onesimus Philemon. You are related to him no longer as a master to a slave. You are related to him on a different set of terms. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Onesimus, now a new creation in Christ, is now related to Philemon on different terms. He is now his brother in Christ. Not only a brother, but a brother beloved. A brother that he is beginning to understand he has dear affection for. Because he's been very valuable to the Apostle Paul, the one that is the spiritual father of Philemon himself. In other words, the family of God, the restructuring of these relationships is far beyond the ancient Near Eastern practice of slavery. There's something that is being accomplished that is above, that is from a kingdom that is not of this world, that is beginning to restructure the family relationships in those who are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a beloved brother, especially to me, but much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul appeals to Philemon on the basis of his relationship with him. We are about the same work. You have a church that's meeting in your house. Archippus is preaching. Apphia is serving in that church. And you have considered yourself to be a partner with me in the gospel. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, if I came, how would you receive me? How would you welcome me? How would you greet me? That's how I want you to receive Onesimus. Because he is coming back to you on the basis of who he is in Christ. The relationship that you have with him because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is realistic. He recognizes that there have been perhaps wrongs done, that perhaps items were taken when he was a runaway slave. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. The Apostle Paul inserts himself as the one who will reconcile things, as the one who will make himself to be the intermediary between Onesimus and Philemon. I am going to make it right. Put it on my account if he owes you anything. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. It's like Paul is writing an IOU. Anything that Onesimus owes you, I will repay. I'm writing this with my own hand. There's your IOU. And then he mentions, in kind of a humorous way, but a way that's deadly serious, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. You know, Philemon, your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ has been accomplished through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so I'm asking you to receive back Onesimus on the basis of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which you have because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So on the basis of that, you owe me basically yourself in Christ. And he's saying that just to simply gently put to him the point that his standing in Christ is what trumps everything. His standing in the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes everything different. He can no longer look at this in the old categories. It's like what it said in 2 Corinthians 5 when we were reading it. We don't regard anyone after the flesh anymore. We don't regard Christ after the flesh. Things have been changed. Things are new in Christ. We have a new relationship with those who are in the body of Christ because we have a new relationship to God through Jesus Christ. You owe me your standing in Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul knows that he's not his Savior. But he's just saying that he communicated the gospel to him, and Philemon trusted in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 20, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. The Apostle Paul's not saying, no, I'm not telling you this just because it's right, just because it's dogmatically correct, doctrinally right, for me to say this. No, it's going to bring me extreme joy. It's going to refresh me down to the depths of my being, the core of who I am. This will be deeply encouraging to me in my ministry of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is basically saying that he is going to be deeply encouraged for a season if Philemon receives Onesimus back on these terms. Because it shows the magnitude of the work of Jesus Christ. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do also do more than I say. I know that you have the Spirit, Philemon. And because you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to receive Onesimus in a way that will be beautiful. That will be abundant and extravagant, the way that the Father received the Son in the story of the prodigal son. That's how you're going to receive him back. You're going to do more. But also prepare for me a lodging, because I know that you're praying for me and I will want to visit. I want to see this new reality of what has been accomplished. And then the Apostle Paul makes it clear that he is writing from prison. that he's writing from in chains. He says, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. He's there with Epaphras, who is a prisoner alongside him, and he also has fellow laborers. The Apostle Paul is again expanding the list of names so that we might understand this is about family relationships in the body of Christ. This is not just narrowly about Onesimus, who was unprofitable, then became profitable because he's united to Jesus Christ, because Paul is his spiritual father, and Paul is the spiritual father of Philemon. And so Philemon receives back Onesimus and a new family because the Apostle Paul is the means that Christ used to build something new. No, there's more people involved. This is a broader principle for us. There's something radically new that has happened in the Lord Jesus Christ that is being accomplished, and all of these people are involved in it. And then he writes at the end, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. If you read through this letter, it's amazing how many times Christ and the Lord are mentioned. And that work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we remember as the means by which we were brought into the family is quite amazing. The Apostle Paul may have written an IOU to Philemon and said, if he has wronged you, charge it to my account. But the Lord Jesus Christ did something far more. He writes about it in the book of Colossians, the letter to the Colossians that was written about the same time. He talks about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What has happened to Onesimus has happened to you in Christ. You have been one who has been forgiven of all of your trespasses. And then the Word of God says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What the Apostle Paul offered to do for Philemon was take to his account everything that Onesimus owed to Philemon. Charge it to my account. He wrote him an IOU. But the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, he actually took upon himself that which was against us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Paid in full. What you owe to God, I will take care of. That is the work of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing work. It's a spiritual work. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Toppling the authority structures of the spiritual forces of wickedness, the Lord Jesus Christ. What has been accomplished in your salvation is the means by which Onesimus is made a new creation and brought back into a relationship with Philemon. It would be wrong for Philemon to say, well, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ took all of your past sins and forgave you of them by causing the law that stood against you to be nailed to the cross, and he took the penalty for it. But I, your former master, still believe that you should be with him. No! Something new has happened. But since the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the relationship of Philemon and Onesimus is different. They are now new creations. When you see another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking at someone that the Lord Jesus Christ has personally bought with his own blood and brought back into relationship with him. That is why we want every person who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do it, to trust in him and to grow. And that is why anytime someone has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see our relationship with them in completely new terms. And that is why when we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see ourselves in completely new terms. Because through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer unprofitable, but you are profitable. You are profitable in Christ. The Apostle Paul uses the very same term that he uses for Onesimus to describe Mark. Mark, who is on bad terms with the Apostle Paul at one point. But in 2 Timothy 4, he writes this, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." The relationship of the Apostle Paul to Mark has been changed because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has caused Mark to grow. Mark is now profitable. That is who you really are in Christ. You are related to other believers in Jesus Christ on a new level. You receive them as those who are related to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be commanded to do it. You do it because of love. And when the appeal is made to you on the basis of love, you resonate with that because you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And it is your high privilege to acknowledge that that person who has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is precious and valuable and dearly loved because they are a new creation in Christ. The book of Philemon tells us about the relationship between someone who was in a master-slave relationship who is now a brother to Philemon. But it tells us much more. It tells us about what it means to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. Meditate upon the change in the name of Onesimus, or the reference to his name, from unprofitable to profitable. Because that's what has happened to you in Christ.